Okay, we're rolling.
All right, thank you. And a very good evening to you, and welcome to the March 1st regular meeting of Oroville City Council. We're glad to have you all here with us tonight, and we will begin this evening with prayer. And we have with us our guest, Pastor Geraldo Nunez. Pastor?
Let's have a word of prayer to give this meeting on the hands of God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you because you brought us here health and safe, Lord. Thanks for these men and women that will be deciding the business of the city of Oroville. I just ask that you give them peace and light that they can do the best for your kingdom, Lord, that you help all the people in the city of Oroville. Thanks for them for the work that they do. Be with them, be with us today and forever. Everything I pray and I ask in the name of our son Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Pastor. We appreciate you being here with us tonight. Blessings to you. All right, then we'll turn our attention then to the Pledge of Allegiance. I get to see if I can find where the flag is. And oh, there we go. Okay. Oh, now it moved on me. There we go. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. If the clerk will please call the roll.
Hancock.
Here.
Espiris.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Mosley.
Here.
Foy.
Here.
Widmer.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
All present.
Thank you very much. You should have received a copy of the minutes of the last meeting from February 15th. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
I move that the minutes of the February 15th meeting be approved.
Thank you. Mr. Larson moves.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Thank you.
Espiris?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Foy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Thank you. And this is the part of our agenda where we open it up to public comment. The public is always welcome to come and share their views with council in any matter that pertains to city council. We have no public comment scheduled for tonight, but we just want you to know that you are invited to do so. So we'll move on then on our agenda to standing committee reports. And first up is our Parks and Recreation Committee Chair, C.J. Handwerk. Good evening, Mr. Handwerk.
Thank you, Mr. President. Parks and Recreation has not met, therefore we do not have a report tonight.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. And then our Utilities Committee is led by Carrie Foy. Mrs. Foy, good evening.
Hi, good evening, Mr. President. The Utilities Committee has not met, so I have no report tonight.
All right. Thanks so much. Our Ordinance and Personnel Committee is led by John Larson. Good evening, Mr. Larson.
Good evening, Mr. President. Ordinance and Personnel has not met, and therefore I have no report.
All right. Thank you. And the Transportation Committee is led by Daryl Mosley. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mr. President. Transportation Committee has not met. I do have comments when we get to Resolution 421 for old business.
All right. Very good. Thank you. And our Health and Safety Committee is led by Rick Espiris, Jr. Good evening, Mr. Espiris.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. President. Health and Safety has not met, and therefore I have no report for tonight, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. And Lisa Widmer is our Planning Committee Chair. Good evening, Mrs. Widmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Planning Committee has not met, so I have no report.
All right, very good. Are we safe from your dog then? Your dog attacked you a minute ago before we went on?
I think we're safe for now. No
All
problem.
Right. Having these city council meetings at home is certainly interesting, isn't it? So, All right, thank you. Then our Finance Committee is led by Travis Wilson. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good. Thank you, Mr. President. I like your enthusiasm tonight. Finance Committee has not met, so I have no report.
All right, thank you very much. We have no special committee reports then for tonight, so we'll move on then to our administrative reports, and we begin with Mayor Handwerk. Good evening.
Good evening, Council President. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Good.
I'm a new grandpa, so everything is good.
That's right. Well, I don't have a lot to report. I wanted to just mention that with our little break in the winter weather we had over the past week, it was really nice to see a lot of people out walking on our sidewalks. I'm glad that we're able to do that in our town. And also, since the snow has melted for now at least, hopefully we can get more people to keep those trash and recycle containers out of the street. I know sometimes when the snow gets piled up like that, even if you try to keep them on the snow, sometimes they slide off or so forth, but at least now the snow is pretty much melted away. And also, I would like to just mention that it was really good to see the cooperation from the local fire departments at the house yesterday near Smithville that exploded. Our fire department was part of that, and it's always amazing to me to see how well all of these departments work together. I know I talked to Chief Bishop today a little bit, and we both agreed after seeing what I saw on the news tonight, that house, that family was very lucky to escape with their lives, so we're certainly grateful for that. And that's all I have right now.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. And then we'll move on to our Safety Service Director, Steve Wheeler. Good evening. How are you?
Good. How about yourself, Mr. President?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much.
Good to hear. I have no report tonight, Mr. President.
What? I heard wrong. What's the matter with my head? Well, very good. Well, thanks so much. We'll look forward to hearing more from Ryan Immel here this evening. So our Utilities Director is led by Jeff Redinger. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mr. President. How are you this evening?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Excellent. Just two items to report on. At last Monday's Utility Board meeting, I did report out that we were in the process of renewing our insurance policy for the utilities. We were dropped by our longstanding carrier unexpectedly last December. And we've been working rather diligently since then and procuring a new carrier to insure us. Our problems were mainly centered around the power plant. You being in the industry understand that the insurance seems to go around in cycles once in a while, and our industry has struggled for the past couple of years. Our insurance company basically cited our age and a lot of views that a lot of insurance companies are taking nowadays, which are not insuring coal-fired utilities. And this company's firm, again, they've insured coal facilities for decades. They have just taken a posture that that's risk that their boards no longer want to take. And we had a claim a couple years ago, actually 4 years ago, that they're just now citing also as a reason that all of a sudden the risk reward isn't there. We've had a lot of luck, especially the past couple years. Our premiums have been pretty stable, but we do remain a very unique industry nonetheless. We did finalize a policy last week with Aegis. That's AEGIS, or large firm out in the Midwest, not afraid of coal, but they are one of the few insurers that we were able to get a premium wrapped around with. That's the good news. Bad news is our insurance rates tripled. We weren't quite ready for that. To give you some idea, just the power plant premiums alone have averaged for the past couple years right around $190,000. We were just a little south of $585,000 this year. of higher deductibles this year, but the one bright point is this coverage is full coverage versus replacement cost. Those of you in the insurance industry, that means something that has some value to us, but not as not at the expense of the premium. But that's the only policies that this company does write. The balance of our utilities and our liability insurance came in. It was some minor increases. We did expect those. So that policy went into effect today, lasts for a year. We'll continue monitoring those, get to know these folks a little bit better, hopefully establish some relationships that will take us kind of going forward. I believe I mentioned when we were under the EPA action a number of years ago, I had three concerns with our facility kind of going forward. Those were more regulations or more legislative actions against the our coal-fired facilities, our ability to be insured, and our ability to maintain qualified personnel to safely and cost-effectively operate the plant. Those continue to be pretty significant challenges for the utility going forward. But again, we were able to secure insurance, and you'll get over that large hump. The one thing that we're normally out of town this week, normally the mayor and I and sometimes council members, utility board members, are in Washington, D.C. for our national legislative rally this week. That rally is being held virtual this year. We do have Zoom meetings set up with both senators tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon. We're still waiting to get an appointment established with Representative Gonzalez. We'll talk a little bit more about the issues that we're going to be seeing here. But the one thing that we've been seeing from President Biden is just about all policies, all legislation is going to have a climate component to it. Whether that's looking at risk, looking at integrating or mitigating or making some advancement to deal with climate change. Those have targets on coal and other greenhouse gas emitting operations. A lot of the Biden staff has been confirmed. That's good. That's a lot further along than former President Trump was in his initial weeks of being in office. Those seem to be receiving some bipartisan support. The four big issues that we're dealing with are issues that we've been discussing with City Council Board and our legislator for years. We're dealing with the high transmission fees. We talk about those every year. They go up in double-digit percent increases. The fees increases and the credits decrease. That hasn't changed in years. A lot of that's due to the fact that the grid does need some enhancements on it. Certainly the new renewables coming into play has added some additional burdens, the coal plant retirements. And there are truly some areas where there are reliability issues. We're not saying that we're opposed to some of this build out, just some of the pace that is being done and some of the rationale for some of this leaves a lot to be desired. It goes a lot against our business model. We are also talking to them about some of the other transmission markets out there that work against us. Some of those fees and programs that are in place are just nothing more than revenue generating sources on the backs of customers. We plan on bringing a lot of those points back into play again. Certainly the Build America bonds, which we've been talking about for a number of years, and our recent lawsuit against the United States government, that we'll be having those discussions again. And certainly where things are going with respect to climate, certainly there's a lot of initiatives out there, a lot of talks about being carbon free in 2025. Net zero economies in 2050, all pretty lofty targets, at least in my opinion, but it is something that is a front and center with President Biden's administration that we'll have to be addressing, in some collaborative effort going forward. So we intend to kind of make those points known to our legislators here over the next week, and if we get the advanced cause for some common good. Other than that, Mr. President, that will conclude my report tonight. Be happy to answer any questions anybody has. Thank you.
I'm curious if you had any comment on what happened in Texas.
Briefly. As you're aware, Texas is Texas. Kind of operates a little bit like its own country. For the most part, that state has its own independent grid. And that grid works a little bit outside the bounds from a regulatory and rules perspective as the other two portions of the grid in the United States. They create their own rules, and some of those rules came back and was working against them. Certainly Mother Nature threw a huge curveball on those folks. But there were limitations, and bringing in energy because independence is a big thing in Texas. Their grid is set up to operate independent and not having a lot of reliance on the outside. When those large demands came in, there were limitations, physical limitations there that unfortunately led to some blackouts. But the price spikes too are that is part of that that wonderful free market system that worked real good until it doesn't. They have rates up there that work real good until they don't. A lot of those rates are set up on what they're called time of day, and those prices change on an hour-to-hour basis. And again, when prices are low, it looks real good. When prices go high, they normally just go up for a little bit and they come down. In this case, they went up and up and up, and they didn't come down for a while. So obviously that system had some vulnerabilities in it that is under a lot of scrutiny these days. But we have a lot of municipal systems down there that were caught up in that as part of our national situation. And some of us have family down there. We have some family that were impacted by that. So a little bit different situation than up here, again, it just goes to show that nothing is foolproof. You do your best in what you can have in place, and you hope you have enough in place to deal with some of these one-off situations. And it could have been a lot worse. I mean, it's not great down there, but it could have been worse for them. So they did do quite a bit, one person being harmed is one too many in our industry. We see that when those situations happen up there. So we continue to work with them and support them, and I'm sure there will be some other legislation or actions coming out there too that will cause us to reevaluate the integrity, the reliability of the grid that we're relying on some days up here. But they're a little bit different, but again, they do share a lot of similarity.
It's when you hear of you and of your team bringing to our attention the need for big projects such as like the second tie line, that second interconnect to the grid. And it's a large project, one of the largest projects our city has done in quite some time. You realize what's at stake if that connection to the grid were to fail for some reason. That's why we seem to continually be making investment into our system and to ensure its reliability. We have a lot of large companies here that depend upon that, and of course all of our residents. So we are very grateful to you and to your team for the reliability that we do have here. So anyway, thanks very much for that report.
You're welcome.
All right, we'll move on then to our finance director, Janet Stremlin. How are you this evening?
I'm I'm fine, thank you, Mr. President. The Finance Department has been busy preparing for our 2020 audit. We've also finalized the 2021 final appropriations that are on first reading this evening. I will be sending an overview of the final appropriations this week, outlining any changes that the directors have made since the budget was prepared and reviewed last June. We'll review that document and the workbooks during our workshop on March 8th. But if you have any questions prior to that, please feel free to give myself or any of the directors a call, and we should be able to answer those for you. And that's all I have this evening.
All right. Thanks very much. It's a good opportunity to get a good window into the workings of the city is to go through the budget. That's where you see where all the activity and the importance is, the areas that we focus on. So, all right. And then we'll move on then to our law director, Cheryl Kirkbride. How are you this evening, Mrs. Kirkbride?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Mr. President. I don't have anything to report, but definitely enjoy the enthusiasm this evening.
Well, it beats the alternative, I guess.
That's right. So. That's right.
For my report, I just have a quick update on our Charter Review Committee. We're going to be working on a date later this month, and so actually Mrs. Kirkbride and I will be working together to secure that date. Right now, we're trying to shoot for the third week of March, but we'll still be pulling some details together on that and then getting out that information to the members who have agreed to serve on our Charter Review Committee. We appreciate their willingness to do so. All right, then we can move on then to old business, and I'll hand it over then to Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Resolution 421. I move this resolution be placed on third reading.
Mosley seconds.
Okay, Mr. Mosley.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Aspiris.
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
Very good, thank you.
Resolution 421. A resolution authorizing the Safety Service Director to enter into a contract for engineering services for the design of sidewalks for Phase 4 of the Oroville Sidewalk Program and declaring an emergency.
All right, very good. I don't know if the administration wants to weigh in at this point. This is our final reading, of course, but I'll just simply open it up to the group. Anyone have any questions or comments for discussion? Mr. Mosley.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is obviously on the sidewalks that we discussed a little bit in detail. This is just to approve engineering for this work, for the work to be engineered through our engineering department. This is not approving, for obviously completion. Currently, Council Clerk is digging for notes from the 90s when we first started the sidewalk program. Once we get all of our details and all that kind of stuff, I know that there's been some interest in us having a question and answer or some kind of meeting to kind of answer questions that some of the citizens have in this, at least in this ward and Ward 4 where we're at. And I know that there's some people that's for the sidewalks, then there's other people that are against sidewalks. So I think, we definitely should consider having some kind of forum to discuss where we're at and explain, hey, we've been through three different phases, and this is the final phase of unfinished city business. That's all I got, Mr. President.
Yeah, if anyone is interested, our council clerk forwarded the transcript of a previous discussion on this that I thought was really interesting, where a lot of viewpoints were shared. And I think council at that time had talked about all of the planning and preparation, the meetings, the discussion that had taken place, and that they felt like that everyone's views and concerns had been taken into account in establishing the plan that Oroville has been, put into place now for the last several years to install sidewalks throughout the city. So as you mentioned, this is the final phase, but it is part of a long-going plan that has had a lot of time and effort and study put into it to make it fair for everybody and yet bring the benefits of sidewalks that have been demonstrated for our community. So thank you. Anyone else have any questions or comments for discussion? All right, very good. We can move on.
I move Resolution 421 be adopted as read.
Mosley seconds.
Second, Mr. Mosley.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
All right. Thank you very much. Next on our agenda then is new business. So again, we'll turn to Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Resolution 821. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
A second.
Second, Mrs. Foy.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Resolution 821, a resolution authorizing the Safety Service Director to enter into a contract and or contracts for engineering services without bidding for the Ellis Street and Orr Park Culvert Replacement Project and declaring an emergency.
All right, very good. I think for this we'll probably turn to Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. This project was discussed in the Park and Rec Committee meeting. This project is a replacement of the culvert, which goes under Ellis Street and extends over throughout the lower Orr Park area. It would replace the culvert as well as a couple bridges, which I know Mr. Hamwork had mentioned in the past as well, that was part of the project. If possible, I'd love to have approval tonight. We're trying to get the project engineered and then bid out. So that the work can be done while school is at a session, obviously, so there's as little disturbance as possible on Ellis.
All right. Thank you. We did have a good chance to discuss this, as Mr. Wheeler mentioned. So that's something we can take into consideration. Mr. Larson.
Thank you. Given that time is of the essence here, so we can get this project rolling, this is something that addresses problems that we've had for years in the lower park with flooding and erosion issues. It's money well spent toward this engineering. So I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hamburg.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Thank you.
I move Resolution 821 be adopted as read.
I'll second.
Second, Mr. Handwerk.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
All right. Thank you very much.
Resolution 921. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mosley.
Second, Mr. Mosley.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Resolution 921, a resolution to make appropriations for current expenses and other expenditures of the City of Orrville, State of Ohio, during the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2021, and declaring an emergency.
All right, thank you. And For this, we will turn to our finance director, Ms. Trimblett.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to review this at a high level a little bit, total appropriations for 2021 are $64 million. $48 million has been allocated for the enterprise funds, approximately $9 million for our general fund, and $7 million for the remaining tax-supported funds. There were some changes that were made from the 2021 budget that we prepared in June. For the utilities, the biggest changes are in our working capital transfer. As you know, transfers are a good change that we like to see. There were also changes in purchase power, coal, and natural gas due to our operational requirements. Capital projects planned for the utilities also have been modified. For the electric utility, projects related to the substation upgrades and also the second transmission line have been modified. For the water utility, we've added two capital projects. One is for the replacement of a roof and also repaving of the water treatment plant parking lot. On the tax-supported side, the major changes are in grants and capital improvements. As far as projects, there were several projects added for the parks. Changes were also made for asphalt street repairs. And there were some other small changes in projects that we'll review in detail next Monday. Again, call if you have any questions after you get the overview or if you're looking through the workbooks. And this piece of legislation should go to all three readings.
Very good. Any questions or comments? All right. As you heard, budget workshops end next Monday. I don't know if we've set a time for that, but I think we could figure 7 p.m. Or I don't know if that works for you, Ms. Strimlin. I know you have to be there for Utilities Board as well. But I guess we could. We always used to be able to say, well, following the Utility Board meeting. and I guess we could do the same thing if people want to log in. We simply have a welcome screen there, and when we're ready to, when you guys are done with the Utilities Board meeting, we'll just jump over to this meeting. That works for everybody. We'll just have to kind of hang in there and see what, just like if we were meeting live, we'd have to wait there in the gallery until the Utility Board was done. I guess it'd be the same thing, just here virtually. So that'll be the plan. Okay. All right, very good. You do see we have the emergency clause on this legislation. Of course, that means that it would go into effect immediately rather than waiting the customary 30 days after legislation's passed. That's what the emergency clause is about. All right, now we have Ryan Immel with us, our street department. I'm sorry. I was moving ahead. I'm excited, ready to hear his report. You only hear it once a year. So, all right, very good. Mr. Larson, thank you for keeping us on track there, and I'll turn it over to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. President. Resolution 1021, I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Mosley seconds.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
All right. Thank you.
Resolution 1021, a resolution authorizing the Board of Control to enter into a contract with BNC Communications without bidding for the purchase and installation of a tornado siren system and declaring an emergency.
Very good. Mr. Wheeler, would you like to offer some comments here?
Thank you, Mr. President. I sure would. The city has four tornado siren systems in four different locations: the industrial park, Beaver Street, over by the city garage, and then Station 2 is the other one. During our end of year kind of testing, we noticed there was some malfunctioning in both the one at the industrial park as well as at Station 2. The malfunctioning at the industrial park actually was repairable. That one is our newest siren, so that one could be repaired. So that has already been done. Station 2 we also found was inoperable, and that one is not replaced, is not repairable.
Believe it or not, that dates back to World War II. So we've definitely gotten our money's worth out of that. And obviously, we'd like to do this in a very timely manner, as before we know that spring will be here and tornado season will be here. And the system obviously is key for notifying folks that are outside in the event of a storm so they can take cover. So Chief Bishop is here on the call if you have any questions about the specifics of the siren itself. Obviously, we don't want to bid this out because it is very specialized work, and it's BNC actually has done all of our communication systems in the past, so they're very familiar with us. Be glad to answer any questions.
Very good. Another item that isn't used very often, but boy, when you need it, you need it. And so it's very important for the health and safety and welfare of our community.
I think that it's imperative that we get this thing up and operating as soon as possible. Because of that, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second.
Second, Mr. Spiros.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Boyd.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
All ayes. The motion passes.
Thank you.
I move Resolution 1021 be adopted as read.
Second.
Second, Mr. Asparis.
Mosley.
Yes.
Boyd.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
All right. Thank you. I'm afraid to go here. Is it time that I can go, that we can go to our, to our service department annual report? It's my pleasure to hand it over to Superintendent Ryan Immel. And let me work on giving you the ability to share your screen, sir. Now I got to remember how to do it. I remember how to do this last time. Okay, there we go. I think you should have the ability to share your screen now.
Okay, we'll give it a try here.
All right. It's always a coin flip if it'll work.
That look right?
Well, look at there. Ryan's able to share his screen.
That's great. All right.
Doesn't always work for us, so yeah, you're lucky.
Yes. Well, I'm glad to be here tonight. As Mr. Preston said, my name is Ryan Immel, Service Department Superintendent, and this is a 2020 annual report. OSD General Information, Lacey Center Building Maintenance, just a little over $9,300. Grounds Maintenance, just a little over $13,800. Training and Safety Meetings, just a little under 245 hours. Due to COVID, we were not able to do our biweekly safety meetings at the shop. But as you can see, we did get our recertification before everything closed down. Here's a few signs that we created and made in our sign shop. Two pictures on the side, on the right side there. We purchased and installed two LED lit solar powered crosswalk signs at East High Street and North Walnut Street. Street maintenance, crack seal, just a little over $24,800. Street repairs, just a little over $27,500. Dirt patcher and potholes, just a little under $11,000. That's a little lower than usual. We've been doing a lot of repairs and maintenance and upkeep in new streets over the last several years, which allows us to not have so many potholes to repair, which is a good thing. Street sweeping, just a little under $16,700. Traffic and sign lights, just a little over $24,100, and that includes those solar-powered crosswalk signs on the previous slide. Chip and seal prep. We had just over $16,400 in that, and contracted out to Millway Paving. Chip and Seal Streets last year were just a little over $67,700. This street project is Smucker Road. Due to some houses in the last couple of years going up, they closed in the ditch, which they put pipe in a couple of basins, but the volume of water traveling down the ditch line is a lot more than going through the pipe. So we dug across the street, an overflow to the north side, to that ditch, to keep things from flooding. And we had to get that done before the street was replaced and repaved later on in the year. This project was done dead end of Willow Way. I was informed that there's a house going to be built and is currently going up at the dead end there. And up until then, there's no houses down there and no traffic. But this particular spot over this culvert pipe, or this box culvert, the base was bad for several years and the street's been deteriorating. So we tore it all out and put new base in and repaired the street. Basins, basin cleaning, just over $16,000. Basin and tile repair, just a little under $31,500. This particular basin was out in front of Orbo Trucking and Grading. They were doing a little bit of repair on their ditch line there in front of the building, and this particular basin was falling apart. As you can see, that is actually a pour-in-place basin. With not knowing how the year was going to go, we didn't order very many basins to fit certain spots, but we had enough time. We got quite a few pouring places done, which is not typically how we do things, but it turned out pretty well for the year. Fuel consumption. Unleaded fuel, we used just a little over 26,500 gallons at a price of just a little over $44,100. Diesel. We used just under 16,200 gallons at a price of just over $31,200. Gas fuel prices were down from 2019. Unleaded fuel averaged 19 in 2019 and 2020. The average was $1.66. Diesel fuel averaged $2.39 in 2019. 2020. The average was $1.93, so that was a lot lower than previous year. We still get our fuel from either Santa Maria Oil or Porsche Petroleum, whichever one is cheapest at the time. Vehicle and equipment maintenance. Vehicle maintenance, just under $49,000. Equipment, which includes a few purchases for the park and cemetery, just over $87,500. Fire departments, $35,100. Police department, just a little over $16,300 for total maintenance of just under $188,000. Our mechanics, they deal with all kinds of equipment and vehicles from all the departments. They do a really good job keeping us going. Mosquito control. For our mosquito spray and our briquettes, we spent a little over $34,200. It's a little higher than previous years. We did a little differently this year. We larvicided a little earlier, and the briquettes have a 90-day release, which doesn't quite get us through the whole season. So we decided to larvicide again, and I think that really helped keep the mosquitoes down for the remainder of the season. Herbicide control, OSD, a little over $1,500. And every year we contract out to the Weed Zapper for a little over $3,600 this year for a total of a little over $5,100. Tree work. This includes trimming trees, removing trees, grinding the stumps, planting grass afterwards. For a total of $51,000. Contracted out this year, we spent just a little under $11,000. It's a little higher than previous years. Unfortunately, we had a number of large trees dying us this year, which were too large for us to remove ourselves, so we had to contract those out. We purchased around 150 seedlings for elementary school kids for Arbor Day, like every year. 320 was our 40-year anniversary with Tree City USA, so we decided to plant 40 trees. The bottom left corner there is a few of the trees we planted in the tree lawn. We did 10 around the city. And then at the cemetery, we planted 30 blue spruce. This is a wall slash barrier between the backyards of the houses off Glen Drive in our new Section 14. Compost. Compost maintenance on the site. Just a little over $38,400. We received a little over 261 cubic yards of compost waste, and we picked up 95 trees, Christmas trees. Recycling. Used oil. We received a little over 1,300 gallons of used oil, which is higher than usual, which is fine because we use that oil in our oil burner, which helps heat our Lacey Center and keep our gas bill down. We recycled 22 car batteries and almost 14 ton of steel, aluminum, and cast iron. Leaf pickup. We had 29 days in the leaf season. We picked up 164 loads, a total of a little over $90,800. We had a few more loads than we did the previous year. As you can see in the picture there, Henry's on a bench track with our new turbine blower. That really helps keep the leaves blown to areas where we can suck them up with the machines. Past years, we used to mulch all those, but I think this really takes care of keeping the leaves up off the ground and makes the parks look nicer. We tried something new this year. We opened the compost center on Saturdays through leaf season for residents that would rather not put their leaves out of the curb to be picked up. They were able to bring them down Saturday and leave them there at their own time. That worked really well this year. I think we're going to continue to do that. Road salt. We purchased 1,134 tons of our 1,200 ton contract with ODOT. As you can see, our bin's really full. With the mild winter we had last year, we didn't use much salt. We actually didn't have enough room to store all the salt we had to purchase. So we had to find a couple locations to store up close to 300 ton of salt off-site, which we used quite a bit of that this year already. Excuse me. Park, maintenance on the playgrounds, just a little over $6,600. Schmidt Hall, just a little over $5,100. Park grounds, just a little over $65,600. Ball fields, just a little over $23,100. Mowing, ball fields, just a little over $22,500. City lots, just a little under $15,900. Parks, just a little under $74,000. As you can see in the picture, we put down 135 yards of playground mulch in the various playground areas. Does two things. It makes the playground areas look nice, and also keeps us up to code with fall protection. There's a few more pictures of the park areas. If you see the picture in the top left corner, some tractor tires, and in the way far background, you can see some smaller tires. These tires were donated and installed with some help from us, from a 4-H group called the Sure Creek Gang. These are in the dog park. These are just obstacles for dogs to run around and through, and just a little something for them to do while they're running around the dog park. The Gateway Parking Lot Project. In the spring, we excavated and installed the base for parking lots. We got just a little over $28,500 in it. It's materials, labor, equipment. That does not include the asphalt itself and the parking lot lines. We installed two basins, I'd say right around 60, 70 feet of pipe. Here you can see that we formed and poured a head wall where the drainage will exit into the creek. There's a few pictures of the pickleball courts, kind of from start to finish. Throughout the project, you drive by occasionally and notice that there's people standing around, looking around, asking how soon it's going to be done. They were very happy when it was done because it was pretty much immediately used until the cold weather started coming in. The pool, due to COVID, we had to limit the amount of patrons we let in at a time. We kept that down to 100 people at a time, which also meant we could keep our staffing down. That keeps the numbers down as well. Maintenance, just a little under $27,000. Managing the pool, almost $8,500. Pool office, almost $7,400. Cleaning, a little over $530. Sweeping the pool, almost $500. Lifeguarding, almost $26,400. Training and meetings, $1,700. Unfortunately, we're not able to do swim lessons. We had at least one midnight swim at $170. We also were not able to do movies or concerts at the main pavilion. And the park cafe was closed for the summer. The snack shack was open, but due to COVID and limiting our staffing, the pool office helped. During safety breaks, we'd go to the snack shack, and we were only open for that 15-20 minutes that they were on safety breaks. So that number is included in the pool office number. Reed Pavilion, maintenance totaling a little over $6,400. $6,100 of that was the roof, as you can see in the picture. Both sides were done, and the middle rubber roof was done as well. There was some painting that was done on the rails and the posts, and more to be done, hopefully this year. The cemetery, cemetery mowing, a little over $78,800. Burials, almost $68,000. That's higher than normal. We had a record number of burials at 87, which is high for about the last 7 years. 48% of those were residents. 46% of those were non-residents. Foundations, almost $15,600. Grounds, $47,400, and that included the planting of the 30 loose spruce trees. Here's some nice pictures of the Four Seasons of Ohio from the cemetery. That is it. Are there any questions?
Hearing none, thank you very much for that good report. I'll see if I can't take this back now. All right. And again, thank you. And you can see all why I was so excited to bring Ryan on.
I didn't disappoint.
Well, it is amazing how much gets accomplished in a year, and especially a year like 2020, you know, when you guys had such a you know, the staffing amount was reduced for a lot of areas, and yet we still look at how much was accomplished. It's really amazing, and a credit to you and your team. And so just on behalf of our community, we thank you for all the work that you all have done to serve our community last year. And we're looking forward to even more this year. There's a lot of plans and talks for the park here in the coming year as we're getting ready to undergo a study to see what our park's needs are. There's be a lot of things that people could be looking for there as well. So. All right, very good. Well, I believe that will bring to a conclusion our meeting. We will just leave one item here for if anybody would like to share anything for the good of the order. I know we do have something here from our council clerk, and so maybe we'll just let her present what she has to us first.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two applications from the Ohio Division of Liquor Control. One is a transfer, and that's Dolgen Midwest LLC, doing business as Dollar General, and it is simply transferring from their High Street address over to the Cherry Street address. The second one that we have is for the American Legion Post, Frank E. Cook. That one is changing. They were a club permit, a D4, and they are actually changing now to a restaurant / nightclub permit, which has three different designations.
All right, in these cases, council does have the option to have a hearing if they would like to hear any more details, or maybe bring some people in to explain more about what the plans are of these organizations. Normally, we don't take any action on them formally, but we'll leave that open here to the group if you would like to perhaps have some further discussion with any of these people.
Mr. President?
Yes, Mr. Hanworth.
Just for some of our newer council members, I might add that years ago, a very wise law director, Mr. Krupp, told me that, because we had this same conversations about the liquor permits, and he said, if you bring them up to question them, they're going to pass anyway. So really, it's not worth spending your time on. And so it's not that we don't care or anything like that, but they're usually just going to go through as long as they meet all the regulations.
Is anyone familiar with the plans that the Legion has? Has anyone reached out or anything? I thought it was interesting, the designation that they're switching to, that's all.
I do have those descriptions if you would like those.
Right, yeah. Can you email those when you get a chance?
Or I can just tell you right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So before, as the club permit level, it was a D4, and that was for beer and any intoxicating liquor to members only for on-premises consumption until 1 a.m. The new designations under the restaurant / nightclub, the D1 is beer only for on-premises consumption or in original sealed containers for carryout only until 1 a.m. The D2 designation is wine and mixed beverages for on-premises consumption or in original sealed containers for carryout only until 1 a.m. And then the D3 is spirituous liquor for on-premises consumption only until 1 a.m. So it looks like they're adding the carry-out portion.
Gotcha. And it seems like they're trying to do creative things to stay afloat and earn money and all that kind of stuff. So that, I guess that makes sense to me.
Any other questions or discussion? All right, very good. Then we will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
Very good. Mr. Larson moves.
A second.
And Mrs. Foy seconds. Thank you.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
All eyes. Motion passes.
Very good. Thank you very much. Thanks for being here with us tonight. And remember, our budget workshop will then be March 8th at 7 o'clock or after the utility board meeting. The Zoom link for that will be forthcoming. And then we'll have our next regular Orrville City Council meeting on March 15th. Until then, thanks very much and good evening.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks, everybody.